Good news.
Yes, it is that time of the week where we have the good news coming your way. John Dee is with us, the founder of Do Something, for our good news of the week. John, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Good evening to you.
John, the French Navy is deploying albatrosses in the Indian Ocean to detect illegal fishing. How on earth is that working? What are albatrosses doing to help stamp out illegal fishing?
This is such a unique story. You know, if you're a fishing vessel that's fishing in prohibited waters in the Indian Ocean, you'll attract the attention of albatrosses, as you know, as they like to hang around fishing boats. It's one of the reasons why so many of them are losing their lives. Mm-hmm. Now, France is responsible for patrolling hundreds of thousands of square miles of the Indian Ocean. So they're basically, the French Navy is equipping 250 albatrosses with tiny transceivers that can pick up trawlers' radar signals. Now, these transceivers are very small, and over the next 5 months, they're going to mount them on the back of these albatrosses. Now, these transceivers on the back of the albatrosses can pick up radar signals within a radius of more than 5 kilometers. Mm-hmm. So the scientists will be able to track the locations of these ships and, you know, through the messages that the albatrosses are transmitting to the French Navy. And they can then identify who should be there and who shouldn't be there. And so it's going to make a real difference in tracking illegal fishing boats.
So why use the albatrosses and what I imagine is quite fiddly technology? Why not just use satellites on the ships?
Well, that's a good question. Well, basically, vessels, when they're fishing illegally, generally tend to switch off their automatic identification system to avoid being tracked by satellite. Now, what they don't switch off, though, is their radar, because sailing with that radar in the Indian Ocean, where you've got very rough waters, it would be very reckless to do that. And using radar also helps illegal fishing ships to detect and avoid those naval ships. So when they're using radar, though, they emit a very low-level radar signal, which the bird's transceivers can detect as they fly overhead, checking out whether this boat has fish or not. So these albatrosses are unwittingly becoming secret agents in the push to save all these fish and also save birds as well, you know. So, and I have to say, good credit here to the scientists in France and New Zealand who've collaborated to bring this about.
Exactly what kind of a risk does illegal fishing place to the environment at the moment, John?
Well, if you think about all that illegal fishing that's taking place there, you've got about 50 million birds live in the French Southern and Antarctic Nature Reserve, which includes the Indian Ocean waters that are being policed by France. Now, that is the highest concentration of birds in the world. And we've seen an explosion of fishing after about the year 2000. And that's caused a lot of damage to the natural balance of the ecosystem, because these birds depend on plentiful supplies of fish. If you take too much of that fish out of the system, of course, that then has this huge impact on those 50 million birds. So hopefully, these unwitting albatrosses will be able to help protect all these other birds, even though they don't realise they're actually doing it.
And unwittingly kind of save themselves too, because they're at great risk at the moment too, aren't they?
Well, certainly from fishing lines. I mean, that's one of the problems that albatrosses have. They tend to dive in near to these boats, but they're hoping that by detecting these illegal fishing vessels in this area where they shouldn't be, hopefully the French Navy will be able to move in and really reduce it. And it's such a unique way to try and protect wildlife by actually engaging the wildlife in that move.
John, let's move now to breakthroughs with solar power on Australian rooftops. And Coke has announced that it's going to save millions of dollars by installing solar panels on all of its facilities across Australia.
Yes, this is really good news. You know, last week we talked about the RE100 initiative, where lots of major global companies are switching to 100% renewable energy as it's saving them money and helping the environment. And this week, Coca-Cola Amatil announced that it's going to install 10,000 solar panels on the rooftops of major facilities in 3 different states across Australia. So in total, they're installing about 3.5 megawatts of solar panels. And the exciting thing about that is it will cut their grid power usage in Australia by about 14%. And from a financial point of view, for all the, you know, the accountants out there, it's going to reduce their annual energy costs by up to $1.3 million a year.
That's amazing. So how quickly does this pay for itself?
Well, it's not cheap to do this kind of thing, but on current figures, the Koch are saying that the installation will pay for itself in about 6 to 7 years. So not too different. It's a tiny bit longer than a lot of normal households, but over the lifetime of those solar panels being put on there, Coca-Cola estimate they're going to get about $14 million of additional financial benefit. So this is going to save them a huge amount of money. And they've already announced that they're using renewable energy in Victoria. Now, that's saving them a huge amount on their energy bills as well. They've also committed to obtaining about 60% of their energy needs from renewable and low carbon sources by 2020. So this really is only the beginning of their financial savings. So, you know, they'll be saving millions of dollars by this move to renewable energy. And again, it just reinforces how businesses have really picked up that going renewable instead of going the old coal route is definitely the way to an improved bottom line.
John Dee is with us, who's the founder of Do Something, with the good news of the week. And some more good news, John, is that a new school in Perth has announced that it's not going to be using any electricity from the grid. It's going to be run 100% using solar power and batteries. How and why have they done that?
Well, the school is called Atlantis Beach Baptist College. It's a new build school in the northern coastal suburbs of Perth. Mm-hmm. And now, so they've become the first school in Australia to be 100% powered by rooftop solar and battery. And the reason they've done it is quite simple. It's saving them money and it's good for the environment. Now, the school opened for business in 2017, in February 2017. Now, the cost back then of connecting the new school to the grid was around $250,000. So the school initially operated using diesel fuel generators. Now, that became quite expensive. So this month, they finalized their switch to solar. So 24/7, they've got 20 kilowatts of rooftop solar. They've got 30 kilowatt hours worth of battery storage. And they're also using solar heat pumps for hot water as well. So it's a small school now, but they plan to grow it. And certainly, you know, they've started in the right way.
Look, it wouldn't be cheap, I'd imagine, to do this. How have they funded it?
Well, they did a deal with a Sydney company that allowed them to switch the school to solar and battery storage for no upfront cost. Now, that's actually quite a simple process that many businesses are also using to get solar with no upfront cost because, you know, for a lot of, whether it's a school or whether it's a business, they often don't have that kind of spare money. So to pay for this system, the school basically buys the solar power from a solar company at a fixed rate each month. So just as it would pay for grid power from an electricity retailer. Now, that's called a power purchase agreement. Now, the good news is as the school grows and they have more kids enrolling, more buildings being built, they'll add more solar and more batteries with no upfront cost as they grow. So it's a win-win for reducing their energy costs and also helping the environment and teaching the kids about the future way that we're going to be powered in Australia.
So, John, we're always hearing stories coming from Victoria, you know, sad news stories, I guess, about the automotive industry closing down, you know, factory after factory, etc. They're always big news stories. And it was announced this week that a new factory is going to be built to build electric vehicles that's going to bring lots of jobs to the Latrobe Valley.
Yeah, this is great news. In the past, you know, with Sarah, I've talked about how DHL, the delivery company, has started building their own electric vans and electric trucks because it just makes a lot of financial sense. They're cheaper to run, they're cheaper to maintain. So it makes commercial sense to be switching delivery vans and trucks over to using electricity. So the good news here is an Australian company called Sea Electric will be making electric delivery vans and mobile buses as part of a new factory in the Latrobe Valley. Now, the Labor government has committed to an undisclosed amount. They haven't said how much it is to underpin the construction of the factory. And that factory looks like it will be set up in Morwell. So first vehicle, hopefully rolling off the production line in about a year's time.
And what kind of range are these vans going to have? Will they be, you know, good enough for normal deliveries, have enough grunt?
Oh, look, this has been the whole issue all along, and this is where things have really dramatically improved in recent years. That Sea Electric has said the van they've developed is currently achieving a range of well over 300 kilometres, and that will only increase over time. they estimate a payback period of well under 4 years, so not too different to a lot of traditional vans and trucks. And they're planning to build and assemble about 2,400 electric delivery vans and minibuses every single year. The good news from this, of course, is the number of jobs. Hopefully, they'll create about 500 jobs. And that's important because this area used to be Victoria's coal power hub. And, you know, to turn that area into a national centre for Australian electric vehicle production, I think is a great idea. It's about transitioning from the old economy to the new one in a way that we create jobs, we don't lose jobs, and people save money at the same time.
So, John, just finally, I'd love to know, Woolworths have been talking about their ban on plastic bags this week. Is it actually reducing the number of bags being used?
Yes, well, this is great news. You know, I've been campaigning on this issue since 2002. They've revealed their ban on single-use bags has cut plastic bag waste by 600 million bags in just 3 months. And that means Woolworths is likely to cut its annual single-use plastic bag waste by about 2.4 billion bags a year. Now, those bags, as we all know, used to end up as litter or landfill. So that's great news. But prior to the ban, they were giving out 3.2 billion single-use plastic bags. So still a little bit of potential to improve that figure, but it's certainly heading in the right direction. So well done to Woolies and all their customers.
That's amazing. Look, thank you so much for joining us with it tonight with the good news, John.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. That's John Dee there with the good news. John is the founder of Do Something, among many other really great environmental initiatives.
You're listening to Nightlife with Melanie Tate on ABC Radio.